Lay down your head and sleep, sleep. I'll be your pillow, soft and deep. Leave me your troubles, I will keep your days gone by. Your days gone by.
It might seem an unlikely subject for a musical. A young farm girl travels on a bus across the country in hope that a televangelist will heal her grotesque facial scar. With Sutton Foster in the title role and a great story and score, Violet has not only garnered raves, with the New York Times' Christopher Isherwood calling hers a career-redefining performance, but it's also gotten 4 Tony nominations, including one for both of my next guests, Sutton Foster and Lee Silverman, its director, and I'm very pleased that both of you could join us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sutton, is it safe to say that this is about as far as you can get dramatically from your role as Reno Sweeney and anything
yes.
goes?
It's sort of like the antithesis of Reno. Reno was probably the most glamorous and sexy and over-the-top character that I've ever played, and Violet is definitely the most stripped down, most vulnerable, most exposed.
And which one do you feel closer to as a person yourself?
Violet.
But you've called this the most challenging role as an actress you've ever had.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I would sort of credit myself as a people pleaser and someone who tries to always say the right thing and be nice. And so it's interesting to play a character who doesn't always say the right thing, doesn't always say the pleasant thing. She's edgy. She's sharp. She's ugly, but at least she believes she is. She isn't all soft corners. So it was challenging, but Lee was a brilliant director and someone who pushed me in ways I never thought possible.
It's been nominated, Lee, for Best Revival of a Musical. I'm embarrassed, but I don't remember when it was first produced. When was it and where?
It was at Playwrights Horizon 17 years ago. It played off-Broadway, and we are in the revival category for Broadway, even though it's never been on Broadway because it's become part of the canon of musical theater.
And how was it received at the time?
I believe it was a cult favorite, an audience favorite, and received mixed reviews at the time. I think the show was ahead of its time. I think its time is now. And it is really, for us, a tremendous opportunity that we're able to bring it to Broadway.
It was also the first show by its composer, Janine Tesori, who later wrote a whole bunch of things, including Carolina Change, more recently Fun Home for the public theater. You must have talked to her about it. How did she feel about coming back to it now?
Well, when she first asked me to do it, we were planning on a one-night-only concert version for Encores last summer, where she's also the artistic director. And she called me and she said, will you please do this one-night-only concert, and then I can finally put Violet to bed. And that'll be it. And it just became clear with Sutton playing Violet that Violet's time was now, that it's undeniable, and that it's a score and a show that people want to see.
But hasn't this been a bit of a change for you? Until now, you've only been involved in creating new work. Because this didn't get all that attention in the past, and it's been a while, was it the equivalent of creating a new work?
Yes, we've started to call it a revisical. So it did feel like new work, but because Janine and Brian were really willing to go back in. They've done a huge amount of rewriting. First of all, we changed the whole form. It used to be a two-act. It's now a one-act musical. Brian did a tremendous amount of rewriting of scene work. Janine wrote 2 new songs. It's really taken on a whole new form, and I think we've held on to the heart and the soul of the piece, and we've kind of reinvented the body that it's in.
Sutton, after you had the huge success with Anything Goes, and there had been other hits before that, Shrek the Musical, Thoroughly Modern Millie, why did you leave New York and go to Los Angeles and television?
I think Amy Sherman-Palladino, she was the creator of Gilmore Girls, which was one of my favorite shows of all time, and she wrote a show called Bunheads, and it came across my plate, and you know, when I had put out into the world if there were any writers that I would want to work with, she was at the top of my list. And so it just felt like the right time. And it was an unbelievable experience. I loved it.
Even though the show did not take off.
Even though it was canceled after a season, I loved every single moment. And I can call Amy one of my dearest friends.
Were people worried that you might not return to the stage?
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Yes.
But I think in my career, it isn't all or nothing. You know, I love a challenge. I love variety. I learned so much by doing television. It is thrilling to be back here with Violet. I hope as I'm knocking on anything I can find to have a long career that is varied and full of challenges.
You learn things about acting from working in television?
Yeah.
It is different, obviously, than working on the stage.
Yeah, it's completely different. It's a lot more, you know, you have to sort of think on your feet. You don't have a lot of rehearsal. You have to really trust your instincts. You're constantly learning new material, new lines. You're constantly moving forward. You know, and once you shoot a scene, it's done. You have to let it go. You have to keep moving on. So there was a real sense of sort of diving headfirst, and you couldn't be scared because there wasn't time, and that was very enlightening.
Lee, what made you want Sutton for the part of Violet, aside from the fact that she has an incredible voice?
Who wouldn't want Sutton to do anything, frankly?
You'd worked together.
We
before.
Hadn't. No,
no,
this
we
was
never.
No?
Had, this was our first.
Oh, but you had worked with Janine Tesori.
Janine and I did Thoroughly Modern Millie and Shrek together. And I actually think Janine is the one who brought me in to play Violet. So Lee, I was stuck. She was stuck. She was stuck with me.
Happily.
But it was really amazing. I mean, I feel like Lee and I were meant to find each other. And I would follow her now anywhere. She's the best director I've ever had the opportunity to work with.
When you looked at the script, did you immediately know you wanted to play this role?
I knew I wanted to sing the songs. I wasn't familiar with the story. It was really Lee. I credit her with everything. She was the one who really pulled everything out of me. You know, we had tons of conversations about Violet, about why this story needed to be told, who she was, everything. And it was really Lee who carved Violet out of me.
Was it still changing as the production was being put together?
Oh, absolutely. It changed all the way up through opening night. Basically, yeah. We were doing little tweaks here and there. We were discovering things about the production as we were in previews. We continued to work on the text. I mean, part of what has been so exciting is that we have been able to discover Violet in the way that I hope that audiences are discovering it, because it people have the same response you did, which is like, I kind of know it. I was somewhere.
Right.
Why is this a revival? And hopefully this is giving people a chance to discover it as well.
Well, the score isn't typical of Broadway. This is it feels, you know, we're used to certain kinds of Broadway scores these days. And that's one of the things that really distinguishes this as a musical.
It's so extraordinarily unique. It's the band is on stage with the actors. I feel like the music is unlike anything else. And it's very spare, very beautiful and lyrical. And I think that there's it's just unlike anything else that's out there right now. There's not a lot of big, we have no big dance numbers. We're not, you know, I think every night before when I'm at the show and I think, oh, this feels so vulnerable because it's so different. It's so different. And I just feel that is.
But audiences are embracing that.
Yeah.
I think our spectacle is the non-spectacle of it.
Yeah.
It's the simplicity and trusting that the story is strong enough.
The humanity.
Yeah.
Well, it's been nominated for 4 Tonys, Revival of a Musical, Director of a Musical, Leading Actress in a Musical, and Featured Actor in a Musical. That's Joshua Henry. My guests are Sutton Foster, who stars in the title role. Violet, she doesn't need another Tony. You've already won 2.
But don't we always need more?
Need.
Lee Silverman, who directed it. It's at the Roundabouts American Airlines Theater on 42nd Street. Now, Violet is obsessed with beauty, and there's one song where she tells so vividly about all the parts she wants. She wants a pair of Jean Tierney eyes, Ava Gardner's eyebrows. Most women would have wanted anything that Ava Gardner had. Judy Garland's chin, Grace Kelly's nose, another incredible beauty. But the scar seems like something more than just physical for her. Does it define her in other ways as well?
I think truly, I think it's, I think she is, she believes she is her scar. I think it's, you know, the scar for Violet is this, it's beyond, it's, it was something that happened from her father. It was an accident when she was young. She was 13. Her father accidentally hit her with an axe. And her beauty and her innocence was basically taken away from her. But the scar is representative. You know, we all have scars. We all have things about ourselves that we might not feel so certain about, things about ourselves that we hate, that we detest, that we wish desperately would be changed. You know, I know as a human being, I can relate to that, of things that I've had to deal with from my past, or things that I've held on to so tightly that I felt like that truly defined me. And Violet's journey is really about learning to let go, learning to accept, learning to forgive, and realizing that the miracle or the true healing is within herself and isn't beyond.
Is that why you've left it to the audience's imagination to have that scar? There is no makeup to show the scar. Was that in the original production as
well?
It
was in the original production, and we did talk about it. Should we have a scar? And the truth is that it's better left to the imagination, I believe. I think it's metaphor, the scar. It lets the story live in a theatrical place, and it is, we have one moment in the show where we show kind of the gruesomeness of the accident, but other than that, we really leave it to the audience's imagination, because we felt like to literalize it would be to undermine it.
Well, Sutton, you were featured in a piece in the New York Times yesterday where you confessed that you prefer not to wear makeup of any kind. Well, you have to wear makeup when you go out on stage, don't you?
Yeah. Well, as Violet, I actually don't wear any makeup, which is awesome. I just wear a little face lotion and some lip gloss. And in real life, I tend to go makeup free. I don't know if it's out of fatigue I was lucky. I was raised with a mom who taught me that she wanted people to like me for who I was on the inside and not what I looked on the outside. And
now they like you because you're an amazing performer.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, the story is set in the 60s. What's its source? Where does it come from?
It's based on a short story called The Ugliest Pilgrim. And it's it uses that story really as the launching point for the whole story, for the show.
And why is the 60s important for telling this story?
Well, I think that there's a very strong undercurrent of race and race relations in the show. The play takes place on a bus. A bus in 1964 is a charged place to be. I think that there's the love story that happens between Violet and Flick is one that's about understanding and looking past what's on the outside and finding what's on the inside. And I think that the race politics that are in the play, the way that people relate to each other because of what they look like, it's all very intertwined thematically in the show.
Well, there are actually two soldiers that she meets and befriends on the bus, but gets connected to Flick. As I said, Joshua Henry's got a Tony nomination as well. And although she keeps very much to herself, why do you think that Violet opens up to them during the rest stops on the Greyhound bus?
I think Violet, you know, she engages with them initially over a game of poker. And
she's a fierce poker player.
Yeah. When she was young, her father taught her how to play poker. And in a way, it's a way for her to have power, to have control over a situation. It's something that she knows how to do. And instead of, you know, letting people stare at her and think of her as one way, she decides to sort of engage. And I think she's intrigued by Flick. She hasn't seen many men like him before. he's intriguing to her. And so she decides to engage in them in this poker game and then takes them all down.
The other soldiers played, named Monty, is played by Chris Donnellan. And you've worked with
Colin.
Him.
Colin.
Colin
Donnell.
Colin, why did I say Chris?
Colin
and,
yeah.
And you've also worked with him. And I always wonder about this. There are all sorts of connections in Violet for your career, Sutton. Does that make it more comfortable when you're in a production where you know the composer, where you know some of the actors as well?
Yeah, Violet has become, it feels like family. Our music director, Michael Rafter, we work together on Thoroughly Modern Millie. He's my music director in all of my concerts, my albums that I've done. He's at the piano every night. It feels like I'm with Janine is like family. Amy Sherman Palladino is one of our producers of Violet from Bunheads. Colin, he played Billy to my Reno at Anything Goes. It's like, it feels like family. But it's also very overwhelming and incredibly beautiful because it's like, it feels like I'm surrounded by, you know, my friends.
Now, the production is scheduled to close on August 10th. Is that a sure thing or could it be extended? Would you want it to be extended?
Yeah, I want it to run forever. World domination. Yeah.
But this is not an open run.
No, it's probably most likely a closed run, which is exciting. It makes it more of a more special.
Well, it also means that you can know what you're doing after the show closes.
Yeah.
Do you have any?
I'm actually starting on another television series. I'm doing a TV show for TV Land called Younger that starts filming in August.
And, of course, that's appropriate because you play somebody much younger than you are in the show.
I do. I do. Got to hold on to my girlish.
And Lee?
I actually am directing a play right now for Second Stage that starts performances on Monday and have a number of projects in the works, including we're bringing David Wong's play Kung Fu back.
Mm-hmm. We said earlier that it used to be two acts and now it's one act. Do you like that, or isn't it more tiring? Don't you like the little break in the middle?
For this journey, especially for Violet's journey, I love it. It's because then you don't stop. You don't lose momentum.
Mm-hmm. Once the adrenaline starts, you just can
flow
with it.
Especially for this character, it's just great to be able to have a one complete arc to tell the story. And honestly, there isn't a clear act break in the story, so it would have felt like we would be stopping.
Sutton Foster stars in the title role of Violet. Lee Silverman directed it. It's at the Roundabouts American Airlines Theater at 227 West 42nd Street. And for ticket information, go to our show page at WNYC.org. We're going to go out with All to Pieces, the song that Sutton sings about how she wants to look. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having us.